He's back in the studio this Wednesday, July 29, the host or co-host of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend from the Daily Telegraph, Dean Bulldog Ritchie. How are you, mate?
Good morning, Mido. Clarky.
Morning, Bulldog.
How are you, Bulldog?
Really well. Another busy week in the old rugby league, but I guess the big story that will loom in the next week, guys, is the Roosters. Luke Keary, I think, will nail down a three-year deal worth $2.8 million. Which comes to about $930,000 a year, which is enormous money, but clearly he is an elite player. And I think you'll find then, too, that that will snowball into the next signing, which will be James Tedesco. He's got two more years on his contract remaining. It would more than likely be a three-year extension, which would be another $3 million. So it'd be around $6 million for the package, but that would make both of them life Roosters.
Yeah, and both deserved of that type
Absolutely.
Of money because
Absolutely.
They're the elite players of the game. It's been a big week for the Roosters, you know. They're signing Keary and Tedesco, extending, and of course Sonny Bill lands in Australia, we believe, on Thursday. Two-week quarantine, starts training, and what a signing that will be for the Roosters heading into the finals.
I've got no beef personally, guys. I'm not sure about your opinion, about the rules being tweaked to let Joseph Soali and Sonny Bill Williams play. There's a bit of criticism out there. I think we need stars in our game. We want players that kids are going to look up to. We want players that kids are going to want to watch on television, go and buy the merchandise. And if it means being fluid, flexible, and changing the rules on the run, I've got no problem whatsoever in luring and keeping stars in our game.
But that's exactly what rugby said last week.
Yeah,
and they copped the absolute gobful. And this week we're talking about potentially changing the rule for someone, and all of a sudden there's no scrutiny.
Well, there's scrutiny, Mido. Look, Soali had the has a clear choice, and he's not across the line yet, but they believe by Saturday when he turns 17 he can sign that new deal because they can register it on his 17th birthday. So I'd imagine that South would grab him by the ear and drag him down there and sign the valuable piece of paper. But look, this kid's obviously very special, and Sonny Bill is special. And if they both want to play rugby league, I don't want any small, I wouldn't say insignificant rules, but less rules preventing them from playing the game that we want them to play. We need stars, and they are stars.
Yeah, I totally get that. I'm just asking you this question, hypothetical. And you can pick one of the superstars of the game if you wanted to pick, say, Latrell Mitchell. If Japanese rugby said to Latrell, listen, we're prepared to give you $1 million for 6 months to come over here and play, but then South Sydney allow him to go and do that, but then they come back in and sign him at $300,000 for the rest of the season as a way of getting around the salary cap. Are you okay with that?
Oh, probably not. That example, Loz, to be honest with you. And I don't want to sound like...
Because a lot of clubs come into rugby league but not leave.
Because a lot of salary cap.
A lot of clubs will sit back here now going, well, you know what?
Yeah,
if this is allowed to happen...
Yeah.
And again, I'm all for Sonny coming over, but you know what rugby league clubs are like. They will do a deal with a player thinking, well, you know what? We'll allow you 6 months to go and play and chase a big deal, and then all of a sudden we will sign you just before the deadline of 30 June or 30 July, whatever it is, and then we'll sign you for less money at the back end of the year so you can come back and help us with our bid to win a premiership.
But they'd still have to put him in the salary cap at what he's worth.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, that's what they should be doing. If he's worth $1 million...
Yeah, but they can't... If he's only playing 10 games, a bit like
Sonny
Bill.
If he's only playing 10 games, then he should be at 300.
That's what I'm saying. So he's going to come back. The player will come back at the end of the season.
And get a per-game ratio, won't he?
But if that's all he's worth, that's all he's worth. Mm. I've got no problem putting him in. I think Sonny Bill might be going in at 400, potentially. But they're only going to pay him 150. That's all he's getting cash-wise.
Yes, but that's the point, is that clubs will look at allowing some of their better players, and it won't be for everyone, by the way.
Sign players for half a season.
That's exactly right. So you can sign an outstanding player, but give him the option if he can go for 6 months, earn big money, and then come back, and it's a way of us fitting you into our salary cap, but we'll still have you at the back end of the season. That's all. That's all I'm sort of concerned about.
This has only become a big issue in my eyes because it's the Sydney Roosters. Had it not been the Roosters, I don't think we'd have as much discussion right now or headlines. If it was to do with the New Zealand Warriors, no one would care about salary caps. They'd be saying, great, let him play. But because it's the Roosters, and it's Nick Politis, and it's the dual premiers, it's become a bigger story than what it is.
No, I don't think so. You know clubs as well as I do. Once a club is allowed to do something, and again, we're all sitting here saying it's great, but once they tick off on it and say this is what we will allow to happen, other clubs will be sitting there plotting and planning about ways that they can, you know, get a player into the salary cap and allow the player some freedom to go and earn some extra dollars somewhere.
As you just mentioned, Bulldog, I was actually for the NRL taking control of the situation and having a conversation with Sonny Bill and the NRL signing Sonny Bill, not a club, and then saying to Sonny, right now, with exactly what we have spoken about day in, day out, New Zealand Warriors are given this game so much. Sonny, you can come back into the NRL and we will pay you. The NRL will pay you, not a club. But you are only going to one club, and that's the Warriors, because they need your help, the sport needs your help, and we want you involved in the game. So go and give back to the Warriors. That's what I think should have happened.
I have no problem with that whatsoever. We said on this show last week, we'd love to see him at the Warriors, because that's the club that needs him.
Yep.
Peter Volandis was interviewed the other day and said as much, saying, personally, I'd love to see him at the Warriors. Mm. But I guess, Clarkie, you can't push a bloke to go to a club he doesn't want to go to. But
of course,
what you're saying, I agree with. Another side issue here is Sonny Bill Williams. His form at the start of this year was modest at best. His timing was out, and he was off the pace playing Super League. So how's he going to cope coming back? Look, perhaps his physicality and his... I mean, he's a physical specimen. He'll get through 5 to 7 or 8 games comfortably. How they play him, you would imagine Laurie sparingly off the bench.
Yeah, he'd play maximum, not at the start, but I would say they'll build him up to probably 25, 30 minutes.
Could it have the potential, not to derail the Roosters, that's too strong a word, but just to upset the rhythm of a club that's travelling so well at the moment?
I think the other way around. Mm. I think it'll give them an injection of enthusiasm and a lift. And I know every team goes through it, but they've hit a bit of a flat spot at the moment, the Chooks, and they always do. They go through a period of not being good but winning enough games to get themselves in a position. They manage their roster well. I think the challenge for the Roosters is obviously mentally and physically to get up, because every game that people play against the Roosters, they're putting everything into it because they're the hunted. But Sonny Bill coming back, I think that's just what they may need to be able to get 3 in a row.
You mentioned the Warriors. What's the latest with their coaching gig and also some potential player signings as well?
Yeah, I keep hearing, Mido, that Todd Payton is firming to be head coach, from interim coach to head coach. The Walker brothers were mentioned, Ben and Shane. They have been eliminated.
Love to see him get a gig one day. It'd be so risky.
It'd be very risky.
You'd tune in, that's for sure, every week to see how it's going.
You wouldn't be tuning in after round 4, though, mate. That'd be the only problem. But look, who knows? It's something different, and they play a different style, or they coach a different style, and it would be intriguing, wouldn't it, to see how they went? Because everything in rugby league is so structured these days and regimented. I understand Jeff Tuvey was a candidate. He has been eliminated.
I can't
understand
the reason why Tuves wouldn't have been at least granted an interview.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it, Laurie? You think back to that grand final where Sonny Bill played in 13. Tuvey was coaching Manly to a grand final that year, and that's very, very difficult to do.
Yeah.
And I think that was only in his second year or third year at Manly. So,
and they were right in that game. They were right in that game.
It was a forward pass, won it for the Roosters.
Second year. Mm.
So I think you'll find that Payton is firming. Paul Green's now on the open market, of course. He's been linked to the Warriors' job. So there could be this great irony, I guess, that maybe Payton takes Green's job and Green goes across and takes Payton's
board,
job.
Won't he, Paul Green? I mean, most clubs would take Paul Green on. So he'll have pick of the board. Is he keen to get straight back into it, or sit back and have a look to see what may come up in the next 18 months?
I think he'd probably rather sit back, Laurie, collect his thoughts again and just settle and then have a look.
Yeah.
But look, you know what coaches are like in terms of coaching. If a job comes up, they get frightened. They're not going to get another chance and they grab it. And I don't begrudge them that. There's only 16 jobs out there. So, look, if it came up, it's a great challenge, the Warriors job. No one really, apart from maybe Daniel Anderson and Ivan Cleary, have made an impact over there. You've got the whole country. You've got a great nursery, clearly. So it'd be a plum job if you really want to take a team from the cellar to the top.
If you could get them going. If you've got to find the right ingredient.
But what is that? Yeah. We've discussed it before. Yep. We don't know what it is. It's a magical potion that no one's actually found yet. But, yeah, back to your question, Mido. I think Peyton's got the inside running. They've been up and down the last few weeks, but I think another couple of wins might just get him across the line.
What about with the Bulldogs, mate? Some good news. They've got a major sponsor. Trent Barrett's on board. Obviously, they'll be looking to sign some new players. Any developments with Belmore?
Yeah, Laurie, at the moment. The one key out there is Adam Elliott. He's off contract. He was linked to St George Illawarra yesterday. I rang the Dragons and they denied any interest at all and said they don't want him. But they've lost Corey Harawira Naira only last week, so they can't afford to lose another back rower in Elliott. We just mentioned the Warriors. There is interest there. They have made contact with Elliott's management. There's suggestions out there that there's a stalemate between the two parties in terms of contract. So he at the moment is the key signing for the Bulldogs. Trent Barrett wants him there. So it's a matter of trying to work through that. They can't afford to lose Adam Elliott. Now, the Warriors are also interested in Jack DeBellin. They can offer him $800,000 a year, obviously, provided he beats those aggravated sexual assault charges. So the Warriors' dilemma is, do we wait for the DeBellin case, which they think may be resolved by mid-August, or do we go and have a crack at Elliott right now? I think in a perfect world, if you put them on the spot privately, they'd say they would want DeBellin ahead of Elliott.
And big signings with the Juno Diesels.
Yeah, the Diesels. This is a big story. Ben Jeffrey played for the Gold Coast. Yeah. 19 games, did 3 for the West Tigers. He's become one of your boys, Loz.
Big story, mate.
Are you funding them, aren't you, Loz?
Laurie's
major,
too tight to fund
sponsor,
them. Funding
them. Earl Daly.
Third party.
And he's too lousy to sponsor them. He thinks turning up once a year and signing autographs.
It'd be a contra deal. He won't be paying money.
He turns up, a couple of selfies, photographs straight back to the airport. But oh, gee, I love my old club.
But he flies there, does he?
It means so much to me, Clark.
Free hot dog on the way out.
Can't wait to get back to his Northern Beaches mansion.
Oh, yeah. Please. You come down to Juni with me.
I spend more time there than you two.
I've been to Junee. I went once. I went into the jail. Junee jail, yep, with New South Wales cricket. Steve Rixon took me. He asked if I would go, will you go to jail? No, I don't want to go to jail. Will you do an appearance down in Junee? Yes.
We were there, didn't we? We went to the jail. A visit?
We went to the jail.
I did a story
on
it.
Interesting.
Been to the hill, Laurie Daly Hill.
Yeah, Laurie Daly Hill.
The man, is that in the jail?
No.
I think the half Nelson that day. Frog marched out.
Who's the big rival? Tumut's the big rival, isn't it?
Take your pick.
So everyone just hates Junee.
No.
Is that right?
No, not everyone hates Junee.
Not anymore.
No.
Loz is gone.
Junee's rival, Wagga.
Yeah,
yeah.
But everyone doesn't like Wagga, do they?
So you've got the Kangaroos, you've got South City, Brothers, and then you've got Tumut and Gundagai. They've always been pretty tough. But yeah, Junee's got great rivalry with Cootamundra, Tamora, all the teams, basically. They don't like playing Junee.
Why?
Junee, give it to them. Junee stand up for themselves.
Here we go.
We're only a small
this is what
town.
I was waiting for.
Listen, we can't go 2 days in a row of you spruiking.
Oh, jeez.
Way above our weight we fight. We're always in the contest, Dean.
Sickening, isn't it?
John, you got that violin?
It's ridiculous.
Seriously.
Oh, the ridiculous. Diesels. We'll be right.
When was the last cop? Yours in 86?
86.
It's a long time between
drinks. Yeah.
Will you go down for the grand final?
100%.
Yeah. You'd probably leave it after. Well,
for the last grand final. We've
got to go to the airport, my flight.
Last grand final would have been, what, 7 or 8 years ago? We went down to Tumut. We played Tumut, sorry. It was at Albury.
Was that when Sivo was playing for the other mob?
No, that was in 2015. Junee played Gundagai in 2014 or 15, and Sivo
was on the wing for
Gundagai.
And Gundagai had lost about 9 grand finals straight, hadn't they, at one point?
They did. Gundagai had lost plenty of grand finals, but then they've gone on a bit of a roll. They won a grand final. I don't know whether you know this, Clarkey. They won a grand final in the 80s, and Cliffy Lyons was playing for Gundagai, and Brad Haddon's father was in that team.
Roscoe.
Played for Gundagai Tigers.
I better get off this Group 9 radio and go and find a story in the metropolitan area.
On your Bulldog.
Thanks, boys.